Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday morning for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And I'm Naima Latif, your co-host, and we'll hear words of insight, some soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green as we talk about issues with anger. Well, whether you're on the recipient end of someone else's anger or you're the one who's expressing anger, we'll talk about it today as we join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
And you're listening to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. I'm Naima Latif. And if you are listening online and would like to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1, that lights your number up on our switchboard so we know you have something to share. And if you would like a visual image of us, then you can go to Facebook and go to Soulful Solutions. That's S-O-U-L-F-U-L. S-O-L-U-T-I-O-N-S, Soulful Solutions. And you will join Dr. Debbie Green. Today we want to take a look at something that is at the base of a lot of our acts of violence toward each other, anger. Anger is an emotion that is generated from within. No one can make you angry. You choose to respond with anger because of something you are believing inside your own mind. You choose to perceive a situation as something offensive to yourself, somehow injuring yourself, and you respond with anger at the thought that someone would mistreat you. It could be something that you perceive as intentional, such as a verbal insult. It could be something you perceive as a physical insult, such as a hit, slap, or bump, or step on the toe. It could be something that you merely heard, something that you heard someone said about you, or something that you heard someone did to you. But either way, whatever happens, anger is generated inside yourself. It's not something someone does to you. It's something you do to yourself. And Dr. Debbie Green is with us today to explain even more about that phenomenon of anger, whether it's generated inside of you or you're the recipient of someone else's anger.
Absolutely. Good morning, Grand Rising, all my wonderful listeners, and Facebook as well. Wonderful, wonderful. Good morning, Naima. How are you?
I am fantastic.
I love that smile. Absolutely, absolutely. This is a grand day, you know. I mean, you know, anger is one of those things that I remember getting certified that in some years ago, and I didn't have any idea how much it involved all our senses. That's what the thing, because we get angry through our senses and our emotions, you know. But most of all, we're triggered by things out of our control, not in our control. It's always the things that are out of our control that actually causes it to sporadically just take control to a certain degree. So I wanted to talk about it where as far as adults with anger, but also with children with anger. Mm. And now, first I want to start with children. You know, how do children, you know, deal with anger? Now, we first have to realize that the frontal lobe is not developed until they're 24 to 25 years old. So if your child is upset, it starts early in life, as early as 2 years old.
Ooh.
So when you see those 2-year-old rants, what I call them, or what they call the terrible twos, where they fall out in the floor, they scream and yell and kick, okay, guess what? They're angry. So they only know how to physically act out their anger. They don't know how to rationalize, reason, or have any logic. You know, that's what they call the terrible twos, because it just seems like the child is totally out of control of itself. So what do parents do? Some of them, you know, they get upset because they don't know how to respond. Yeah. Or they just allow them to kick and scream and do whatever it is, because that's all you can do is allow them to, you know, I call it exert that anger and allow that anger to actually come out. Now, as we notice, when they get a little older, past the ages of 10, okay, going into the adolescent years, now the anger tends to change up a little bit. Now, most children, and I notice this in the male genders, more so than in the female genders, they hold anger inside.
Mm.
They don't express it. They shut down, And when they shut down, they don't communicate. And it usually starts, again, by 12 to 17 years old. If they're angry and they're angry because maybe a parent is missing out of the family, usually if they don't have access to a lot of nurturing from the mom, or if the father is absent, that boy child tends to hold anger inside. Sometimes what happens is, again, they shut down, they don't communicate, not even in school, or it comes out in many different ways. And sometimes it comes out in behavior, what we call ODD, obsessive, I call it redirectional disorder, right? But really, it's another word for it, where it looks like that child is just really not paying attention, but most of all upset and not knowing how to express that anger. So what they do is they then shut down, but then also not pay attention at the same time. And it could be a parent, sometimes it looks like ADD or ADHD. It could also be like that, because when you're giving them a directive, they may, you know, get to a point where I don't want to listen. You know, they may ignore you. They may avoid you. They may even fight you. We've had some of them that even start fighting, throwing things, knocking holes in the wall. From some of the patients at the hospital, some of the, you know, adolescents will then throw things at their parents. They may do a lot of different things. They may even go to the point of, you know, self-destruction. You know, self-destruction, they're so angry till they don't want to live anymore. They will get just that angry. So we want to talk about those things so you can notice some of the symptomatic, you know, things in the adolescent, such as irritation, agitation, frustration for no apparent reason. Well, you don't think it's a reason, but there's a reason.
Yes, they have a reason.
They have a reason. And, again, they don't often speak to their parents. They speak more so to strangers or someone that's not in the home. It could be a counselor at school. It could be a mentor. It could even be a teacher, you know. It could be a cousin of the family. It could be many different people other than just the family or mothers or fathers. Some of them get to that block, they stop blocking, you know, we call it blocking their parents, and then there's no communication, and everything at that point then shuts down. They shut down, and now it's hard for them to reach the children, and they don't know what to do, and when the child starts acting out and wanting to hurt itself, then that's when they get desperate, bring them to the ER. The ER directs them to a psychiatric mental health hospital. So anger turns into many different things. I mean, it's not just, oh, I'm mad. No, it's way deeper than that. And, again, we were never taught to deal with anger.
No, we were not. We were forced to suppress it. I want to go back to what you were saying about those two-year-olds, because that's that very difficult stage when they're learning language, but they don't have enough of a vocabulary to express their thoughts, and they do have that emotion of anger. Most parents respond to a two-year-old's anger as disrespect of them. How dare you show anger? How dare you express it with such force where you're screaming, kicking, out of control, as you say. And parents will see it as disobedience or bad behavior. And because parents haven't been taught to understand a two-year-old, even though we've all been one, but they respond to the two-year-old, like you say, either it's one of two things. Either you're going to just let them scream and cry it out and have that tantrum, or you punish them with violence. And I've often seen parents, say, in a supermarket where, you know, someone's child is acting out and having a tantrum, and other parents will be disapproving of a parent who doesn't respond with violence at the child. It's like, oh, she's just letting that look at that spoiled child. She's just letting that child just run wild. Look at that child. Just no respect for her, you know. And so the parent who doesn't actively, you know, grab the child, shake them, scream at them or whatever, is seen as weak, as permissive, as allowing the child to take over, and all of these things that have nothing to do with seeing the situation from the child's point of view. Someone who has intense emotion and is frustrated because they can't get the adults to understand, they can't get whatever it is that they would desire, they can't make themselves understood, and they're frustrated and angry, and they're expressing it the only way they know how. But most of the adults see it as a reflection of themselves. You're a bad child. You're being disobedient to me. So either response is not helpful to the two-year-old who doesn't have the means to make themselves understood. And when you have a parent who responds to you with violence, then you learn to repress your anger, because that's the beginning of conditioning you that if you express anger, you will receive violence. But
right.
It still doesn't help you learn how to express your anger. All it does is teach you to suppress it. And then, of course, as we know, it comes out in other destructive ways. So what would you advise for parents of those two-year-olds who are going through that intense expression of anger, and they may even be doing it publicly, and you find yourself being judged by other parents if you don't respond with force?
Uh-huh.
What is the appropriate way to handle a child who's having a tantrum because they're angry?
Well, I think that the thing about this, you got to understand, the rational mind is not even in place. So the goal is to still speak to that child, because the baby understands English, so it's like, you know, they may not can, you know, speak it all together at first, but they can understand English, and you know, it's all about redirection, okay? Because I have grandchildren, and two of them are 3 and 1 is 5, so the one that's here with me in Atlanta, I often redirect her. So when she gets frustrated, she'll fold her arms and she'll just fall out on the floor. I say, okay, now we're having a tantrum now, right? So that's what I tell her. I said, we're having a tantrum. And I say, oh, you're a big girl, you know? You're a big girl. I said, come and let me and let's, you know, let's do something else. So just all about just redirect. You might have to give them a few minutes. You know, anywhere between 2 to 5 minutes just to act, whatever it is that they want to act out, because, again, they don't really know how to filter it mentally, what they're feeling. All they know is that I'm out of control, or something's not in my control, and I'm out of control, so this is how I respond. You see what I'm saying? So giving them that 2 to 5 minutes, if you notice, like, if you're actually in a grocery store, you may see a parent, you know, and a child could be sitting in the cart there, and the child is screaming, and the parents just totally ignoring them, and they're just doing whatever they, because at that point, you know, they're going to eventually stop, you know, they're not going to continue to do that, but the thing about this is that parents really need to, as that child grows up, it needs to learn how to redirect its own anger, because if you don't teach it how to redirect it in a healthy way, what's going to happen is, as it grows up, it thinks it can always have a tantrum, okay?
Yeah.
So you have to redirect them, say, okay, I see that you're having a tantrum, and it's all right to say that to a two-year-old. Okay, I'm going to let you have your moment, but after that, then we're going to go ahead and get redirected, and just maybe grab a book, a toy, or something, you know, something, food even. You know, I know that, like, with 3-year-olds, popcorn works very well. popcorn, something that they really like, put on something on the television, like a funny cartoon, just any redirection, instead of just allowing them just to sit there and do it for long periods of time. Now, when I say long periods of time, anything over 10 minutes is too long.
Mm.
That's too long.
So
you
now,
need to redirect it, I would say, within a 5-minute period.
So now what I see sometimes, parents feeling like this is a battle of wills. I'm going to make you stop. And that's,
well, that's
when that violent response is. You know, the child's going to have a tantrum. Oh, you're going to have a tantrum, so now I'm going to spank you, so now you're crying even harder, you're screaming even harder. That method usually doesn't work, but parents who feel that this tantrum is a challenge to their authority will respond in that way. And I'm wondering if parents are projecting a motive onto the child that isn't there, like this child is trying to embarrass me in front of all these people, or this child is trying to challenge my authority, or this child is doing this to irritate me, you know, this child is trying to make me look bad, you know, all these things that probably are not in the mind of a 2-year-old, but adults are responding as if the child has the capacity to calculate this devious plot to embarrass them with this tantrum, as opposed to the child simply being frustrated and expressing anger. And
right.
You know, so however the parent responds, as you said, at some point you have to help the child learn how to redirect their own anger.
Mm-hmm.
And at 2, yeah, you can do different things, but what about if the child is 22 or 32 or 42 and they're still screaming in rage when they don't get their way or when they're angry? What didn't happen along their development, the reason why when they get to be an adult they're still expressing anger in that out-of-control fashion?
Well, then we go back to the inner child syndrome, okay? The inner child syndrome, whatever your inner child is going to feel, if it doesn't get resolved for whatever made it angry, it's just going to continue with the same tantrums.
Mm.
And people have those tantrums, right? We have people who scream and yell and get out of control. They want to fight. They want to, you know, just, again, and they have grown people tantrums.
Yeah.
And really, truly, it looks like it's grown people tangible, but it's actually the inner child that's not had any redirection. Again, children should be redirected as early as 3 years old. So if you redirect your child into a healthy state, you don't always have to touch a child physically to redirect it. It's all about limits and boundaries. Let me give you an example. My daughter has a 3-year-old, and she's having problems redirecting her daughter. Okay, so when my granddaughter sees me, because she's already known that I set boundaries with her at an early age.
Yeah.
Now, I started setting boundaries when she was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so her mom didn't set any boundaries. She just allowed her to do whatever, you know, and not reprimand or redirect. When I say reprimand, which means, no, don't do this, do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, don't do that, do this.
Mm-hmm.
And constantly reprimand or redirect without a, you know, you don't have to do it with a very stern hand, but you have to change your tone and your pitch in your voice or whatever direction that you want them to do. And actually, a stare will really help too. I can just look like
you got to know how to have that look.
You know, you know what Mama them used to have, honey. All they had to do was look at
look.
You one way.
Yeah.
After that, you already knew. Oh, I don't want to know what comes next.
Right.
And I mean, it's like it's almost like okay, you know, I don't believe in corporal punishment per se, you know, do something like that. But you shouldn't have to, you don't have to use an enforcer to redirect if you do it early. Now, okay?
That's what I've discovered.
Now, if you wait until after 5 years old.
Too late.
That's too late.
Well, that's one thing I've discovered. The power of our face and our voice.
Yeah,
so powerful. That's enough when a child is under the age of 2 and under the age of 3 where you basically can change the tone of your voice so that they can see when I'm pleased or when I'm displeased. And they respond. You know, they respond to a smile when they're doing the thing that you like. They respond
right.
to a non-smile when you're doing something that they don't like.
Right.
And your tone of voice. I think parents make the mistake of trying to nicely redirect or reprimand someone. Johnny, don't do that. You know, and that voice
they
doesn't have the authority to change behavior. Johnny, don't do that. You know, I mean, and there has to be a difference. Early on, like you're saying, when they're very young, even before they have the language skills, they have the understanding
right.
of what you're saying and the tone of what you're saying and the vibration with which you're saying it, then they respond to that. But
yes.
if you don't create that response to your face and voice early on, and then later on when they're 5, you're frustrated because they're still acting out. It's because you didn't create the response to your changed face and voice.
Correct. That's the issue. So as this child grows up, right, because it has not been redirected in a healthy way, you know.
Yes.
So as it grows up, then what happens is if you coddle it, you know, like if you cuddle it too much, you confuse it. You confuse the child if like when I say too much, which means when they're doing something that they're not supposed to do, and you grab
yeah.
them and you rock, oh, don't do that. Okay, they confuse it.
Yeah.
They confuse it. So when you're just doing it just because, they think it's okay for them to do whatever they want to do. You see what I'm saying? So you have to know when to coddle and know when not to coddle. That's why I said, you know, and as you continue to do it with a consistency,
yes.
then you're teaching them how to respond to aggression.
Yes.
Because otherwise they don't know.
Now that's another interesting one.
Excuse me.
And you know, one of the things that concerns me, because I really try to help parents to teach without using physical force, physical violence, you know, physical pain. Because every memory of infliction of pain, that is a memory that's stored in the subconscious mind, and it shapes the personality.
Yeah.
And I believe even with a strong-willed child, there are some children that are very strong-willed, and that's not a bad thing, but it does require a lot of redirection so that they don't harm themselves or others. But I try to help parents use other methods when a child is doing something that is undesirable, because if every infraction your response is a hit, at some point even that doesn't have an impact. You know, you're just hitting them and they just know they're going to get hit, but you know, okay, it might work temporarily when they're 5, but when they're 15 you can't use that. But if that's all you have, then what do you do when you've got this 15-year-old who's now taller than you and their tantrum's a whole lot more deadly and you haven't learned how to redirect their anger or help them manage it or even express it in words now that they have a vocabulary? So I know we have to take a break, and I want to ask you about that, because I see a lot of parents who started very early using hitting and spankings and physical force to make a child stop crying or stop screaming, and then later on in life that behavior it was there was never a means of self-control developed. So perhaps
right.
what they should have done. So we got to take a break. And we want all of you all, because, you know, some of you all are raising children, some are raising grandchildren, and you really don't know what else to do when they start screaming other than hit. But how long can you do that? And will it really help when they get bigger than you? So we'll be right back, and we've got a caller on the line, 314-833. We're going to come to you after the break, and we'll be right back after these messages. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Dr. Debbie Green, and to your very astute Female Solution audience, this is Mark Shahid from the STL, that's the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. And I was listening in to the topic. It's an excellent topic. And so, Naima, as you well know, I'm the facilitator of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab for years. And if I can get a few minutes, I think I can add something that may be beneficial to the topic today. And one of the things that I'd like to start off by saying that I subscribe to the thinking that it's easier to shape a child than it is to reshape an adult. It's easier to shape a child than it is to reshape an adult. And one of the things that is very, very important when you're speaking about the emotion of anger, we need to first start with the definition in terms of what parenting is. In definition is direction, and in correct definition is not only direction but correction. And so we've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to what correct parenting is. And we simply say that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility, not only for the mother. That's a misnomer, that the mother is the only one that should be a nurturer in terms of the children. Also the mother and the father. It just as it takes two to produce a child, it takes two in terms of the nurturing and cultivation in those vital components. We need to understand the vital components that make up the human being. So these are human beings. They're little human beings, but they have to be nurtured and cultivated in the vital components. And then we need to look at what is the role and responsibility is to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities. Now, just with just that only, just think about it. Now, most of us, when we had children, or even when we were born, our parents didn't have a manual. They didn't have this type of knowledge and insight as to what parenting is all about, the parenting skills. Most parents parent really according to perhaps how they were parent. You know, Naima always speaks about, you know, not hitting a child, not beating a child in all. But then the parent was a recipient of that. So this is all it is that they know. So we have to develop better parenting skills, and there have to be an objective, you understand, as being a parent and what it is that we should be raising our children to do. Basically, there are three stages for all children. This is not only for one gender and not the other, for both males and females. The first 7 years of a child's life, when we're talking about the formative years, these are the imprinting. This is called the imprinting stage, and impressions are made upon the children. And in that stage, our children are in their world of play, of play. And often they play in terms of fantasy, and the child, the mother and the father that understands that, they have to get in their world. We're talking about in terms of rules and regulations. If when you do that, in most things that when you play games, there are rules and regulations. The child doesn't come here knowing anything. So when parents understand that this first stage is the imprinting stage, then the Creator has given them the first opportunity to make the first impressions upon them. They're just like clay, you see. So, but when you don't know that, you hear parents say, "Oh, I don't play with children."
You hear that? Oh, I've heard that one.
I don't play with children. I don't play with children. No, but in social science, in all, you see, and even in our way, I'm a Muslim, but Islam says that you should play with your children from 0 to 7. Now, you're going to have an impact upon them. It's more, you know, I could say about that, but time won't permit me to say that. But the second stage in a child's life is called the modeling stage, the modeling stage. Now, these things are naturally going to happen. Everything has been studied, you know, even in social science. So the child is looking for a model. Now, who should be the model? Well, the way the Creator has designed it, the natural role model is supposed to be the mother and the father. Now, if you don't have what I call family, father and mother inevitably loving you, you might just have mammy. But it's very important that you have the child has a role model, and they're looking for it. And this stage in Islam is called the adab. Now, what is the adab? The adab is simply put proper etiquette, and knowing how to deal with different situations in life, the correct responses to different situations in life. The discipline is a self-discipline. So we're talking about anger here. But if you're a parent and you don't know that a child has to have a model, and you're a big part of that in terms of being the natural role model, they're still going to go through that stage, and they're going to get a model. The question becomes who and what the model is actually going to be. And if you're the type of parent that never have time for your children, and you damn the relationship as a wordologist, it simply means don't ask me nothing. You ask too many damn questions. Go and sit down. Go watch TV. You see? Okay. So now what becomes the model is what you send them to do, you know. And so now you don't become the model for them. Whatever it is that they're watching on television, this becomes the model. And so the model is, in terms of, you're talking about anger here, now we see cartoons where anger is expressed. Now, like cartoons like it was when you and I was coming up, and all the things that's on television that should be censored in terms of what your child is watching, but you sent them to television, so this is the vision they get. This becomes the model. Okay, last stage. The second stage is from 8 to 14, last stage from 15 to 21, and that is the socializing stage. I heard Dr. Debbie Green speak about anger, that sometimes children become so angry that they don't even talk to their parents anymore. Their communication is with others. So if you've been following what I'm saying here, if the child has not been involved, if the mother has not been involved in their child or children's life in those first two stages, where the formative years, you know, it is said by the age of 10, now some have different numbers, by the age of 10, 90% of the child's personality, when you hear a word like ality, it's a play on the word reality. The reality of the person has already been shaped and formed. But you were missing in action. You weren't present, you see, in that regard. And because you weren't present in the imprinting stage and you weren't present in the modeling stage, when they get to the socializing stage, Dr. Debbie Green, they don't want to have anything to do with you. And this is the stage, whereas in Islam it says you should be their friend. And so we've heard that before. I'm not your friend. I'm not your friend. Yeah, but if you've been with them in those first two stages, when they have a need to discuss something and have issues in their life, they will respect the fact that they had parents that was with them in the impressionable years, made those type of impressions, and they were communicating with them in their play world, bringing them from the state of fantasy to reality. Matter of fact, as a wordologist, the word mother is making our true human experience real. You know, when you really understand what that is, that's a very vital role, because the honor and distinction is given to the mother first and foremost to be the teacher and leader for our children, and that's both our baby girls and boys. But they will X you out. So what Dr. Debbie Green is saying is very, very true. They will X you out in a socializing stage, and they will socialize themselves with people that have a common experience just like them. This is very important. Now, I want to say something as a word tolerance, the word anger. This is a little gold nugget. If you can use it, you can keep it, put it in your purse, put it in your pocket, and if you can't, throw it away. It is adrenaline needed to as adrenaline needed for good energy restored. The Prophet Muhammad said this in terms of four categories that people fall into when it comes to anger. And the first category is those who are quick to anger, but they're quick to cool down. One quality compensates for the other. The second category that people will fall into, those who are slow to anger, but they're slow to cool down. One quality compensates for the other. But he said that the best of you are the ones that are slow to anger but quick to cool down. And the worst of you are the ones that are quick to anger but slow to cool down. And so the latter one is always generally in anger mode. If you are quick to anger but quick to cool down, that quick to cool down is a plus in terms of quality. So you have to work on not being so quick to anger. But if you're slow to anger, but slow to cool down, obviously slow to anger is a plus, and you have to work on after you get heated up in terms of cooling down. But the object is to be slow to anger, but quick to cool down. And so he gave a solution for that. If, in fact, now this goes for adults, but it can be used also for children. And this is from an Islamic perspective. It said, if you are angry and you are standing up, then you should sit down. And if you are sitting down and you're still angry, then you should lay down. And if you are still angry after you lay down, in Islam, we make what's called wudu, which is washing and cleaning yourself up to make prayer. And you cannot pray with a befogged mind. And so when a person is angry, you have a befogged mind. So you have to go to prayer, you understand, with a clear mind. And this will help in that natural progression in terms of quelling the anger it is that you have. But even if you're a Christian, this would be something still that would be good to do because, as you were saying, how people react when they're really, really angry. But if we understand those stages and age and stage that our children go through naturally, we can begin to shape and form. As I says, parenting is a process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral. You see, there's a morality that's actually attached to that. And emotional. We are to develop our children with emotional intelligence that should translate to emotional maturity. I could say a lot about that. These are the type of things that if we understand those type of things, then we can be more effective as parents in shaping and forming our children as opposed to trying to reconstruct an adult. Because it could be done, but it's going to take a lot more work than it would be if you understand what your role and responsibility is to your children. I just want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to say that much. But if we begin to have that mindset and define what parenting is, see, because it involves more than just food, clothing, and shelter. That's a given for the physical development of our children. But we don't include the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and spiritual development of our children, then they won't have a display the good emotions that we want them to display, because emotions is a vital part of the human being. But we want to develop emotional intelligence and emotional maturity. But we have to understand those stages that our children go through, and we have to be with them throughout those stages.
Yes. Well, we definitely thank you for breaking down those stages.
Thank you.
You know, one thing that comes to mind when we speak of developing children to emotional maturity. We know we've had several generations of very young parents who themselves probably did not have emotional maturity and definitely didn't have the guidance on how to respond to a child's anger. And I think a lot of mistakes get made when you don't have guidance and you don't have a model of how to appropriately redirect a child's anger, and if you are still yourself emotionally immature. So I've seen what I would say with probably some very damaging responses to children's anger. And we've seen these, we've unfortunately heard a lot of these stories in the news, you know, a two-year-old, three-year-old, four-year-old getting beat to death because they cried, and the parent wanted to make them stop crying. And you know, someone who didn't have the emotional maturity to handle the expression of a child and wanting to use physical force and not realizing the power of their own strength and perhaps even their misinterpretation, again, of that child as being defiant or challenging their authority. And if you've got an adult who is struggling with issues of self-esteem, then a child of two saying no, you know, that's enough to trigger them. How dare you tell me no? And then wanting to beat them and beat them and beat them. We see these stories all the time of some young child getting beat to death by an adult in the process of what they think is discipline. So this is something that I really would like to help adults who are raising children understand about the child who's expressing anger because they don't have a way to explain
to
how they
feel
and way to communicate. They're frustrated.
Well, you know, Naima, there is a word, you know, in social science that as oftentimes I use in the learning labs and workshops and lectures that I give, and it's a three-letter word. It's called DIE, D-I-E. And that simply means a desired internal experience, a desired internal experience. And so this, when you don't understand that there's a desired internal experience that all human beings have, even little human beings that we call children, they have a desired internal experience. And so as you were so eloquently articulating, them not being able to articulate that desired internal experience that they like to have, but parents also not knowing that there is a desired internal experience that they're trying to express. It's just like the baby when you go to the infant. The baby just hollers, you know, just start crying for everything. You know, that's why, you know, the Creator has put the intuitiveness in the mother to be able to discern, what are you saying? Infant means not yet speaking. That's the root meaning of the infant. It's not yet speaking, but the child, the baby is still speaking. So it graduates in terms of you talking about the two-year-old, the three-year-old, okay? They can speak a little bit more so than the baby, but oftentimes the expression is, I'm upset, I'm angry, or at least it's expressed or seen as such. But there is a desired internal experience that they like to have. And so just by the, as you and Dr. Debbie have said, the tone of voice and communication means a whole lot in terms of how you say what it is that you're saying to them. And then getting to the root of what is the desired internal experience that you would like to have. And so oftentimes what I did with my children, I raised seven, I always believed in the merit system, the merit system. You don't want to send the wrong message to your children. You have to let them know with certain behavior and certain things that you need to do, there is some type of compensation for that. And the reprimand is that those things that you decide that you're not going to do, then you, there is something for that, a consequence for that, and not wanting to do those things. So you at early age, you want your children to begin to make choices and decisions. You say, what, Mark Shahid? You're talking about a two-year-old, a three-year-old? Yes. Just think about it. We had the conversation last night on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in terms of communication, how important it is in the growth and development of our children to be able to make choices. And from an Islamic perspective, you know, it can be something simple as to what, I mean, you buy their clothes at that point, but what color you want to wear. You might think this is insignificant, but it's very important to allow children to be able to make choices in certain things. Now, you don't ultimately let them make choices you know they're not capable of, but this helps to grow them in the vital components that I named earlier, even in having a good emotional state, because the fact of the matter is you recognize that this is part of the growth process for them to be able to make choices and all. And they can also choose, you understand, what consequences will come as opposed to their behavior. Now, these are real parenting skills, not trying to beat the child, because, Naima, you hit the nail right on the head there, because children learn what they live. So if you're expressing anger and you're going to want to physically discipline them because you're angry and you're frustrated, then don't be surprised if that child grows up to replicate what it was that they lived. They learn what they live, you see. So these are real parenting skills that we have to really, really, really learn to really make a difference. And this will help to make a difference in the human society, because the family life is the first social institution in human society. If we don't like what we see, the anger that's being expressed in society, then go back to the first social unit, which is the family. Let's make the corrections there, and we will produce the type of ethical, emotionally intelligent, emotionally mature, rational human beings, spiritual human beings that we can live with, and to produce an ethical and a just society. All of that begins in the family life. And if we don't get it right there, we're going to have problems when we graduated from not only from family to neighborhood, from neighborhood to community, from community to society. And I can say a lot about, you know, I can say it for the rest, for the end of this show. I can't underscore that, but we have to understand that this is vitally important.
Absolutely. Before we go to a break, Mark, could you give us the information about your next parenting class and how people can tune in?
Yes. It's each and every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for those who are in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, 6 p.m. for those in the Central Standard Time Zone, and 4 p.m. for those in the Pacific Coast Time Zone. And that's Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It's on IWDM Radio. And Dr. Patricia Salaudin is my co-host. She joins me each and every Wednesday, except for the first Wednesday of the month. And you can call in at 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. And, you know, just like the Female Solution, you can press 1 and ask questions or make comments, we do invite you to bring it to the lab. Bring it to the lab. Because, you know, and it's good to bring up these things because they are real, real-life issues. But at the lab, we deal with it from the seed level. You notice I didn't say the root level, the seed. You can't get a root until you have a seed first. We deal with it from that point. Naima, you know, Naima Latif, she actually started out with me in this venture in terms of parenting and family reconstruction. I mean, she knows and understands it's so important in terms of correct parenting and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And we all agree that the family life has been destructive, but it has to be reconstructed. That's why I say it's easier to shape a child than it is to rebuild an adult. So just remember that, and if you don't remember anything else, remember that definition for parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. I'll stop there. Thank you, Naima, and thank you, Dr. Debbie Green, for giving us the opportunity to add something to the conversation. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Wa alaikum. We thank you so very much for your wisdom today. And we're going to take another break and come back and address some of those issues of how we respond to anger expressed in our children. What is the appropriate way? And also, how do we handle each stage of our children as they express anger? Need to know. We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts, and we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
All right, we have Dr. Debbie Green. I'm Dr. Debbie Green, your wonderful co-host, my email Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. I want to actually comment to Vianna. Comment here, Grand Rising, how do you respond to a continuing anger in a six-year-old?
Good question.
So let me comment in this area right here. Usually when a child has repeated anger outbursts, it's actually could be several things. Several things, okay? This is the way the child is reared, which is raised. Also how the child is redirected and nurtured. But most of all, whatever that parent has in them, I believe personally, because I've seen this many times, that angry parents produce angry children.
Ooh.
Okay? So if they don't know how to deal with their anger healthy, then what they do, they transfer this into their children, whether they realize it or not.
Mm.
Okay? So, which means, for example, if I can give an example, if a parent is suppressing their anger, then the anger is going to come out into the children because it's been suppressed. I've noticed in interutero, when a mother is carrying a child and a mother is in a either domestic or some type of even her childhood, have been suppressing anger or not knowing how to deal from anger situations from her mother or her father, usually, however it is transferred, it goes straight down the genealogy pipeline.
Mm.
That's another area that we didn't discuss thus far. We were just talking about the topical, how to teach, how to reconstruct and redirect a child, but we're not talking about the factors. There's many factors on how that child has a continuous outcome of cycle of anger. So he was talking about the structural part of the mind, the spirit, socialization, intellectual. Okay, all of those are the components, mind, body, and soul, that we can keep them, keep it, you know, real simple, right? So socialization has a big play on that. It's, however, again, how the parents communicate this thing and how they dissect it. I'm still talking about the emotional anger. That's what I'm saying. Interpersonal, which is one-on-one, intra, which is to a group of people. So what am I saying? A six-year-old, okay? We're talking about a six-year-old that was in the womb, all right? And mom had any type, mom or dad, okay? I want to let you know the chromosomes don't lie, okay? The DNA doesn't lie, which means it's all truth be revealed in characteristics and personality. Up until that child is 18 years old is when the personality is totally developed. So if the child comes in the world based upon those criteria of influence because of the mother suppressing or not dealing with anger as well as the father, then we have what they call a colic. Okay, and a lot of people may not agree with this, but they really think about it, you can see the truth in it. A child that has colic, and that's what they said, a disgruntled, always crying, constantly. Okay, what's going on in their emotion? It's not just because they're having tummy aches or something of that nature. No, something's in the emotional state, in the spiritual state of that child when it comes to an overwhelming feeling of not being able to understand. So what does it do? It cries. It cries, it screams. Even when you're trying to call it, you have to wrap it real tight. Okay? That means when a baby is wrapped and swaddled, it tends to calm down. Wonder why? Why does the baby calm down? Because it feels what is called security. Right? Oh, I feel secure, so it's all right with me. Okay, fast forward. So as the child grows up, if it doesn't get that type of redirection that we were talking about earlier, which means if it has the tantrums, it's not redirected, it just allows it to scream and yell over and over and over and over and over again, guess what? The brain is not redirected. The subconscious is not taught about redirection, so it doesn't remember redirection. You see what I'm saying? A child has to be taught from a very early age. So if the parent is having some bouts of anger as well as cyclings of anger, not knowing how to deal with their anger, there is a very high probability that that child may not have an issue to deal with their own anger. So now we have a six-year-old that's constantly upset because there's no redirection, because mom and dad didn't redirect. And you said, wait a minute, yes, they did. They spanked them. They told them to be quiet. No, that's not redirection. You got to understand, when you put your hands on a child, if the child is experiencing pain, all it does is makes it more angry. It doesn't redirect. Redirection is that you're changing the behavior and the habits of how that child is not reacting, but responding, because you remember, it doesn't have a rationale, reasoning, nor does it have logic. It doesn't know that, oh, I am not supposed to do A, B, C, D because of A, B, C, D. No, you have to teach them how to deal with their anger. So if you don't teach them how to deal with their anger, they suppress it, or it comes out in other ways, comes out at school, comes out on the schoolyard. Guess what? Anger will turn into bullying. Okay? When a person is bullied, because that's all they know, because they're angry inside and they don't know how to properly deal with this emotion. So they project it in ways that's unhealthy onto other individuals. Okay, and you know that some kids vandalize when they tear things up, you know, for no apparent reason. Say, so little Bobby, just why are you always tearing his toys up, or you know, scraping on the walls, or tearing his books up? Okay, those are forms of anger.
Wow.
That's what that is. You don't know what it is. You think, oh, the child is just bad. Everything I give, all they do is tear it up. That's why I don't buy nothing. We hear parents say that all the time.
All the time.
We direct them. When you get, like, my grandbaby loves books, and she loves the books that's important to me, so she'll go on my bookshelf, and she'll pull them off, and she'll flip them out, and I told her, I said, I don't mind you flipping them off, and she's 3 years old. I said, but you are not allowed to tear anything up. So when I go and I get her a book, I get her the book not with thin pages, but with the cardboard pages.
You can't tear that.
You can't tear those up, because I want her to understand that books are her friends.
Yes.
So she loves books. She's been loving them since she's 1 year old. She loves the hold a pen before she can even think about writing. So this child knows intellectually, you see what I'm saying? And I mean, it wasn't that we showed her this. It's just that she watched us do certain things. So this is how she does it. So how do you teach a child to take care of itself? Redirection. No, little Bobby, don't tear your things up. This is valuable. Sit down. See what I'm doing? Sit down. Take care of your things. And you have to teach them how to take their toys, put them back in a toy box instead of when you take it out. No, you're going to put it back in because you need to take care of your things. Clothes, shoes, everything is the same way. You teach them early in life, and you will then see a big difference. So if the child is continuing cycles, what's happening is it's too emotional. Tell the parent to redirect verbally, which means when the child is at rest, not when it's upset, because when it's upset, he is not listening because they're in their emotions. When you're in your emotions, you don't listen. You hear, but you don't listen. Okay? So when the child is at rest, which means when it's watching television, when it's eating, you know, things of that nature. Now what you need to do is redirect. When you see the child getting upset, you will know when the child is getting upset, because before it gets upset, it's going to send you signs in the physical.
Facial expression. Yeah.
Right? It ain't angry yet, but the physical, you know, you guys, everybody can't see me, but face is going to let you know when that child is upset. Okay, right then, that's what, because see, this is when you start to teach, and you know, say, it's okay, it's all right. Let them know it's all right to express their feelings. You see what I'm saying? Don't wait until they scream and yell and fall out on the floor. Say, wait a minute, Miss All, tell me, let's do this. And you know, what parents do a lot of times, they ask that question, what's wrong? So immediately, guess what happens? The child goes right back to what is hurting them instead of looking it from another point of view. Let's redirect, constantly redirection, and you have to do this on a constant basis because, again, if that mother, if that father had anger issues, there's a good chance that that's something that transferred emotionally to the child. It's not always the child has his own anger emotion. This is normal to feel. It's a normal emotion. But when it is out of control, let's look a little deeper. Where did it start? It had to start somewhere. Now, I also want to talk about frozen rage before, because I know it's 9:16. I want to make sure that we understand frozen rage. And what does that mean? A child can experience depression and anxiety as early as 5 years old. As 5 years old. Frozen rage. Frozen rage is when I have no control over my emotions. I have no control over my thought processes. I have no control even over my physical body movements. And they don't. Remember, no logic, no reason, no rationale. So how do we fix that? How do we nurture that? How do we help them to heal that? Now, remember, when they were babies, we used to swaddle them. We wrapped them up, and we held them when they were babies, when they were upset, when they felt, you know, over, like when they felt overwhelmed by whatever emotion that was. So you're saying, well, when they're 6 years old, do we swaddle them? Find their comfort zone. You got to find their comfort zone. What's their comfort zone? My 3-year-old comfort zone is in books. And, of course, in Dave and Ava. On YouTube, that's her comfort zone. We can, that Toy Story, if she's upset, I can turn on the Disney Channel and I'll show her Toy Story and she'll just calm down. There's something about that. That's her comfort zone. So we have to find what her comfort zone is, and every child has a comfort zone. If you're paying close attention to your child, you can know what calms it down. Again, redirection with food does help. Snacks, redirection, okay? And believe me, they can be crying, and you can give them some, and they'll sit there, and they'll cry for a second as they're eating. But if you notice, they'll calm down. You know why? The brain has to concentrate on the eating.
I have a question. Because a 6-year-old, they have the ability to express their thoughts and feelings in words at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And usually a child, you know, when they're angry, they know why they're angry. So what happens if a parent asks them, why are you angry, and then listens and you know, asks in a way that doesn't sound like, why are you angry? What's wrong? You know, but in a tone of voice that says, I really want to know, I want to understand, you know, why are you angry? You know, and then listens and lets the child explain, you know, well, I want to go outside, or I want to go to my friend's house, or I don't want to wear this jacket, or whatever it is that they're upset about. And then perhaps if you present them a choice of something, because whatever it is they're angry about that you have not allowed them to do, there's a reason for that. And you explain the reason and you say, well, what about if you do this? Would you want to do this or that instead of this? You know, and engage them in making a decision about something that you're giving them the power to choose. You know, some little thing like, you know, you can't go outside without wearing a hat. but do you want to wear the red hat or the blue hat? You know, I mean,
right.
You know, something that they can feel empowered, but addressing the issue that whatever it is that they may have,
the frustration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times parents is like, I don't care why you're mad, just shut up, you know, stop crying, or they will basically get upset if the child tries to explain and not give them a voice to say what it is that they're upset about or be angry at what they're upset about. And sometimes you have drama going on in the household, like you say, you know, you got angry parents, angry children. If they're upset because of anger or tension in a household between the parents, that's difficult to express in words at a young
age. Absolutely.
But that's the underlying thing that it is,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they might get upset at some little thing, but it's a deeper reason. They're upset because they're feeling insecure about their household if it seems like their household is falling apart. And I notice a lot of times, I have had a lot of students, you know, even when I was teaching like in, you know, first, second, third grade, and parents were going through divorces or conflicts, and
yes.
the child would come to school and maybe start a fight with another child or act out and disrupt. And then you pull them aside and get them to talk, and you find out there's distress happening in the household.
Mm-hmm.
But at the age that they are, it's hard for them to express that that's what's hurting them. And I've seen a lot of times where adults, in not exploring what it is the child is feeling distress about, will merely punish the behavior without knowing that there's a deeper pain that they're going through and they're feeling helpless to be able to do something about it.
Correct.
And even like you said earlier about, you know, about bullying, even what happens when children aren't allowed to express anger at home. And so mm-hmm. they, on the playground, you know, beat up some smaller child, you know, expressing power over them because they feel powerless in their own household.
Correct.
So
yes.
how do we help parents get to that point of sensitivity about a child's anger, not seeing it as bad or disobedient, but really helping the child to express what they're feeling once they reach that age where they have the ability to speak and then not just cry and scream or throw a fit or pout, but really be able to say, what is it that you're feeling, or why are you angry, or what are you upset about, what would you want to happen, you know, and
right.
give them a chance to explain it and not fuss at them about it or ridicule them about it, but help them figure out how to resolve the issue or resolve
yes.
the conflict, and so they can feel empowered, that they can
right.
make a choice.
Absolutely. I think we need to learn how to express the love assertively.
Mm.
You have to love assertively.
Love assertively.
Assertively, yes. Not with aggression, not with passive aggression, not with passivity, but assertive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Assertive love is totally different than any of that type of love I just got through saying. Sometimes we're passive aggressive and we think we're loving our children.
Mm-hmm.
That means we allow them to do things and then later on we reprimand them for doing
mm-hmm.
that. Okay, sometimes we're too passive. That means we give too much flexibility. And then when things go wrong, then we reprimand them for that. And then sometimes we're too strict. And then when we're too strict, and then they get refrained from it, and then they still don't get it right, we get upset from that. But if we are assertive, assertive is to give an alternative, any choice in a matter so that both parties are then, you know, satisfied. So as we love assertively, you always use that true phrase of love, which is, I love you, you know. And you have some people that say, well, I love you enough to, you know, if I brought you in this world, I'd take you out. Okay.
Yeah.
We heard that a million times.
Yeah, we heard that.
We heard that a million times over. But what I'm saying is, like, you are expressing something and letting a person, you letting that child know, I don't care if the child is 5 years old, 15, 17, doesn't matter. I need you to know where I love you from,
mm-hmm.
okay? I don't love you just from being your mother. I love you from just being a person. You are a person, and I'm expressing love, but I want you to teach me how you want love. And I think that's what we don't always do with our children. What we think is that we're supposed to permeate that love, whatever's inside of us, as far as reprimand, redirection, we're supposed to just, from where we sit in life, what we've learned from our parents and our generation, our ancestors, and we just pass it down, not realize this is a whole other generation, okay? So they're looking at it from a whole different perspective when it comes to reprimand and direction. So teach me how to love you. Let me understand what it is that you desire, and let us come to a mutual understanding of how to love each other. And I mean, you may say, well, you can say that to a six-year-old. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, they...
Why not? And you know, mommy, and you'll hear mommy or daddy, well, then you ask them, what do you think love is? I think a child needs to be taught love as early as 3 or 4, as long as it can speak to you and understand you. You know, it should be able to understand what love is. Love is not just me giving you a reward if you're good. Love is not just me telling you that you made good A's, a good grade. Love is way more than that. Let's take it out of the physical world and put it back to where it needs to be, which is non-tangible. Mm. Love brings joy. It brings peace.
Yeah.
It brings understanding.
Yeah.
It brings comprehension. So if that child's having any conflict within itself, it's because it doesn't feel loved completely.
So another question.
Hold on one second.
Oh,
let me.
Oh,
we got a lot of comments here.
Oh, okay.
I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Maika.
Yes. Helen Edmund Bevel said, "Grand Rising to Vienna. In what way does the child express anger?" So, if Vienna, if you're still joining us, she's asking you a question. In what ways does the 6-year-old express anger? That's what she wants to know. And Jody, thank you for joining us, said all disease, which is dis-ease, is manifest by our emotions. Absolutely, that's so true. And also, Deanna Robinson said it is even more challenging when children are in a divorce situation, going back and forth from two homes. Only time out allowed and no spanking, so have to be creative with discipline. Right. Now, in a divorce situation, children are confused.
And sometimes they're angry.
They're very angry.
And we often don't allow them to express their anger at the conflict in their household. Because, you know, many of us are coming out of a generation where you're a child. You don't have a right to express your thoughts. You don't have a right to have an opinion. Shut up. Be a child, you know. We damn
suppressed
our children.
Emotion.
Don't ask me nothing, you know. That. So,
suppressed emotion.
Right.
No advocate. No, you can't self-advocate.
Yes. You can't
you
say how you
years
feel.
Years ago, yeah, that don't work.
Yes.
Of course, that's why every person that's expressing a hardship or when they said anger right now and criminality is because it's been suppressing so long in emotions. Suppressed emotions produce criminality.
Yes.
We know that to be any psychologist will tell you that when you suppress that, when you hold it deep down inside and you've been abused, you've been traumatized, then the only way it comes out is pain.
Yes. And one thing I would say about, she mentioned time out, and, you know, some parents are like, okay, you misbehaved and you get a time out. Well, I look at time out like prison. If you put somebody away because they've misbehaved, but during that time that they're away, they have not been able to process what happened, why they responded the way they did, why they misbehaved, what harm they caused, and what they would do differently. If nothing is happening during that time, then it doesn't really correct behavior. And we are thinking that the deterrent to prison is knowing that you will go there if you do this wrong behavior, but it really isn't a deterrent because whatever it is that caused people to go to prison, that's still there when they get out. So the same thing with a timeout. If a child is angry and acting out and throwing shoes and clothes all over the place because they're angry, and you say, okay, we're going to put you in timeout, but you have not dealt with why are they expressing anger? What are they trying to say? What is it that you want? How can we help you redirect your anger and make a decision on your behavior that is appropriate as opposed to just putting you away? So putting you away doesn't help the situation if it doesn't change the behavior because it doesn't address the reason for the behavior.
Now, you've got to be careful with that area, Naima, because you think about logic and reasoning. And a lot of times our children don't, their brains don't think that way because they're very emotional beings. When I'm taking time out, I'm giving them something to do besides to sit there.
That's what I'm saying.
Just, you know, right.
You got to do something during that time out.
Right. Remember when we were in school, I don't know if you ever went to school doing this, when the teacher would have us write on the board a thousand times.
I will not talk in class.
And, you know, and so that right there, I think that was a lot of redirection, which is good.
More fingers.
But at the same time, when she does want you to talk, you may not say a word. So you got to be even careful with too much of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What do you do during time?
I think that we take that self-advocacy. And I noticed that a lot of times, even in patients at the hospital, that when as they get the adolescents between the ages of 12 and 17 don't speak up for themselves.
Yeah.
They don't self-advocate. Now, you have some of them don't be quiet.
Yeah.
That's what that means, that they've been in a position so long to when they do get the opportunity to speak, it's just flowing out of
like an erupting volcano.
Yeah.
You know, it's been
boiling
under the surface so long, it finally just explodes out. Yeah.
Right. I just had just recently, it was a gentleman that suffered with severe anger, and he's married now with children. But when we walked back in his timeline, what happened was his father actually killed his mother, and he was there. And he was there. He was in a home where there was a lot of anger expressed towards, you know, towards him, but also towards the mother. The father expressed it to the mother. So as he saw that, what happened was all of that, I would say, vile emotions of anger was built up inside of him.
Because
he was so angry, he couldn't say what he wanted to say to the father because of being threatened. I will beat you. I will hurt you. So there was no self-advocate. There was no reason. There was none of that, right? So as he grew up into a man, he didn't know how to deal with his emotions when it came to anger. So he would have these loud outbursts, screaming and yelling at his kids, but most of all, to his wife. And, you know, she's like, okay, we need to get some help with this. So when I took him back into the timeline, he realized, he said, wow, you mean to tell me I've been suppressing this for years and years? And he was suppressing.
Wow.
I mean, again, this is something that a lot of people are dealing with on an everyday level, not knowing that it is very self-destructive, is unhealthy, because suppressed and inner aggression can cause high blood pressure, it can cause sickness, because, again, one has to be able to sort through their emotions healthy so that it doesn't turn out to be a physical repetition.
Wow. Well, we gotta take another break, and we gotta call on the line 773-221. We'll come to you after the break. And if you're on our switchboard and have a thought you'd like to share or a question you'd like to ask Dr. Debbie, press 1, and we'll be right back after this quick break. Oh, and of course you can share that comment from Maika when we get back. And we will be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
And if you're on our switchboard, you need to press 1 now so we can know that you have something to say and make sure you have time to say it. 773-221, your mic is open. Go right ahead with your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green.
Yes. You know, when I was a congressional candidate in D6 as a 24-25-year-old, my major platform type was prison reform. Prisons were becoming...
Your voice sounds a little muffled. Is there a way you can raise your volume on your phone, in your phone. Your voice is a little muffled. We need to be able to hear you a little
can
better.
You...
Oh, that's better. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I think that the beneficiaries of mass incarceration, the prison industrial complex, should, as a matter of law, be identified and answered for why the conditions at these institutions that they're making much money from is the way it is. You know, years ago, Minister Farrakhan was, I think, in Philadelphia at the AME Mother Church, where the pastor said, I think we should own some of these penitentiaries ourselves so that we can manage them. See, the whole point is that we should have proper residential accommodation out of a prison environment for individuals who are not a threat to society. That prisons should be places where individuals who are incorrigibly violent or dangerous or problematic in some unjust way, ill affecting people, can be instead of in the civilian population.
Well, I think one of the things that you point out, and thank you for your call. I think one of the things that we see in prisons is are people who maybe never learn to manage their anger, and so then you put them in an environment where they're constantly provoked to more anger. That doesn't help. And so likewise, when I see parents that punish children for anger and they never help the child express what it is that they're angry about, it's the same situation. You cause pain to someone who's already in pain and expressing pain, and you never help them relieve the pain. So if we can change how we see children as having no rights to express themselves because they're children, and that's how we were raised, well, you're just a child, you don't matter. If we would change our thinking and treat that child as if they have a right to their feelings, and give them a chance to express them and then help them redirect them and manage them, then they won't end up being that prisoner who is behind bars because they inappropriately behave, because they couldn't manage their anger, and then they're in an environment that just gives them more pain. So when they come out, they, just like the bully on the playground, they express it as someone else. So we have to stop the cycle, and we can do that in childhood if we can see our children as people worthy of respect, even though they're young and may not have all the emotional growth and logical development of an adult. They still have a right to their feelings, and their feelings need to be respected. So that's my thought on that. Thank you so much for your call. And let me, if I can, go to area code 407. 701. And yourself to our listening and viewing audience.
Good morning, ladies. This is Viata. I've been texting. I did enough typing. I'm like, let me get on the phone. First of all, I want to invite everyone to join me tomorrow morning on health and well-being. I have a holistic hair care professional joining me, and she's going to teach us how to take good care of our hair. And second of all, I've been typing, and I really, really appreciate all your advice that both of you queens are giving, because I'm a grandmother. I have limited influence in these two young souls that have come into my atmosphere. And I think the biggest difference in how I raised my two sons is cell phones. Cell phones, tablets, and all the other distractions, TikTok, all these distractions and what are addictions now. When my grandson says, I hate you, it's because grandma is saying you cannot spend 2 or 3 hours on this tablet. And yet they see their parents on their cell phones for hours. And my son will be sitting in the room with them. They're all watching a video on the screen, big screen, and he's on his cell phone. So I'm like, you know, I have to take a deep breath when my son's grandson says, I hate you. And he does that a lot because I take away these addictive contraptions that they've become so used to. You know what my response is? I love you more. I know how to respond to him, but he's going back and forth from two homes with parents who are addicted to their cell phones, parents who are feeding them a lot of crap, and then grandma has to be the influence that tries to bring some balance. And what do I get? I hate you, grandma. Well, that's okay. But grandma's going to do the love thing. And then they go back to their mother, who I have recognized that's why they're divorced, because she was a narcissistic, controlling agent, and my son was not taking that. So they had good things, had to separate. That's what happens with couples after 6 years. While you discover that one partner is just a little too controlling. So again, I appreciate all your advice, but I'm in school with these grandchildren because of this situation that I'm in, where two parents are not conscious the way I am, and I have to intervene and wait. And then to answer Maika, this child destroyed the blinds on his window. He knocked out a screen in his window. And I said to his son, okay, your little bank that you have all that cash in just got empty because you're going to pay for this damage. And then we're going to have to create other responses to teach this little boy with how, even though he's got watching addiction from his parents, the cell phone, the tablet, you know, they'll give him the tablet to keep him occupied instead of interacting. And so when we go to the YMCA, these kids love to swim. So I'm always, let's go to the YMCA. Let's go to the Y. They'll stay in that water forever, and that's what I let them do. So anyway, I just thought I'd share my journey so thus far, which is sometimes frustrating, but yet it's very educational because I realize what's going on here with these addictions and these distractions that society keeps introducing to these parents. And then we grandparents have to intervene and bring some sanity to this whole scene. So thank you, ladies. This has been a great show. I appreciate you both. Love you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing that.
Let me take another call, and then you can respond to both of all the comments that have been made. 779-801, your mic is open. Thank you so much for joining us. Introduce yourself.
Grand Rising, this is Claika, and thank you for the show. And I really enjoyed Mark Shahid this morning giving great insight into parenting, and Dr. Debbie, and you too, Naima. During the whole show, I was trying to reflect back, and I said trying. I was working on reflecting back on my own childhood and anger, and I don't remember a lot of angry expressions. One, I had a father, and he was very active in the family, and we were a very active family unit in terms of doing things together. And I remember, though, my father and mother bought my brother and I, he was 2 years older than me, a punching bag and told us if we got angry and wanted to hit something, we could hit that. So that was basically something that was there for us to express our anger on. And then my love for books kept me involved a lot. And then my brother had the responsibility of taking care of me. So I was hanging out with him and his friends playing sports, and that burned up a lot of energy. So I don't remember a lot of angry expressions in my life. And one of the benefits I remember, my mother and father, however, they were two Libras, and they say anytime two Libras are together, they do a lot of arguing, and my mother and father did that. But what was interesting was I got a chance to see people reconcile and go back to work together, that they continued to do what they had to do even after they would have an argument. And what I find in society today is a lot of people, when they get into a disagreement with somebody, they just do a cutoff. They'll ghost you or they'll cut you off, and that's it. There's no more communication. And that's That's very interesting for me because I don't know where that particular characteristic develops in people, but that's how they deal with their anger. I like to communicate myself. I like to work things out with people. So that's been some of my observation. And I know that I think that in terms of child development, I think that before two people come together and marry, that they should actually have a questionnaire that needs to be developed to help them to understand each other's parenting style and see if they can come to agreements on how they're going to raise their children when they have these difficulties and problems and, you know, how, you know, what understanding the things that Mark Shahid was talking about and learning to value themselves, helping the children to learn to value themselves. So I think that those are some missing, that's a missing element in our socialization and marriage contracts that people are developing. So they go into these marriages and then they're finding out that this person thinks about disciplining physical force and this one thinks that we just need to talk. And so then there's the adverse problem that comes because of the differences in the two. So those are some issues that we need to insert into our community as it relates to the development of little beings. And then you also have the energies, I think, I don't know who mentioned it, in terms of in utero, the energies that are available that the child is picking up in utero from the mother in particular in reaction in relationship to the father. How does she deal with her anger, frustration, fear? You know, those things have to be understood. The person has to understand themselves and they have to be able to express that understanding to another person. So therein lies the problem. You'd have the expressive ability. And that's all I have to say on that. But Dr. Green, I had promised one of your young friend who was on recently a poster, and I need to get some contact information so that I can send that poster out. So if you could share that with me at some point, I would really appreciate it because I want to keep my word on giving it to him.
I'll
make sure I send you her information.
Thank you so much, Ray, for commenting, because that's the values and views, you know, from our listeners and stuff, because you never know who's listening, who's dealing with anger, because anger is one of those things that can be very toxic, and it also can be very self-destructive if not dealt with early on in life.
Absolutely.
So once the personality develops in that human being, and if they don't know how to deal with anger, then anger turns into other things. It doesn't remain just, you know, frustrations or agitations. So it turns into other things that's not healthy for.
Right.
And I think that's really important because a topic like this needs to be understood. And if I could just offer a few more nuggets to you, some wisdom. As your children grow up, and as you also experience life, one thing you definitely want to deal with is anger. Anger is something that actually fuels guilt, it fuels shame, fuels remorse, and it also fuels depression. And it will give unhealthy outcomes in life, such as physicality, different sicknesses, chronic illnesses, and suffering. So it's because it's such a powerful call, energy in motion, you know, and we need to understand that it's a normal thing, and anger is only there to redirect you, not to destroy you. Like, you know, sometimes we got to get angry to change. We have to get angry to let something go. We have to get angry to receive something. And, you know, but it is designed to help us to know when we are out of control that's only because he doesn't know how to deal with his anger.
Yeah.
When he gets upset because he can't have something, it's redirected into something that he can't control, which means he can tear something up. That's a sense of control because he can do this, and even though it's wrong to do it, you see what I'm saying? That's expression because he's 6 years old. He doesn't know how to say, "Mommy, I am angry because, all right, I don't have this and I don't have that," and not knowing that just because you don't have it, that doesn't mean you have to destroy something. So what will really be, find out again where his comfort zone is, which means what is his pleasure zone? What, think about what you can direct him when he's at rest, not when he's angry, because when you give it to him when he's angry, he's not going to pay attention to it.
Right.
You have to give it to him when he's not angry. Okay, let's do this.
Right, you got a caller. I don't know if you want to try to take a call at 909-633. I don't know.
And just constantly redirect him.
Okay, we only got about a minute, so
you can use that when he is angry. Go ahead.
Okay, so 909-633, you only got about a minute before we wrap up, so go right here with your question or comment for Dr. Debbie. Let us know who you are and where you're calling from. 909-633, your mic is open. Check your mute.
Hey, doctor. My name is Sean. I'm calling from California. I'm wondering how, as adults, can we redirect our own childhood problems?
Wow. That's a good question. As an adult, how can we redirect our own childhood problems?
Okay, well, if it's anger that you're trying to redirect, because that's our topic for today, the brain can only concentrate on one thought at a time. So you got to understand your triggers. Triggers are those things that come through our sensory organs, our eyes, our ears, you know, even taste, touch, all of those are sensory. So whatever triggers you, you have to identify your triggers and know that you can control your triggers. 45-second shift. So when you're triggered, immediately what you're going to do is shift your thought into another direction. I need to feel that intense first and then shift. Don't suppress it. Know what the trigger is. Identify the trigger, feel it, and then shift. And then rationale. Why am I feeling this way? How long shall I feel this way? Start analyzing that anger. Start analyzing it and breaking it apart so that you can control it. Because if you don't analyze it, you can't control it if you don't analyze it. That means you'll only be in an emotional state, and the emotional is just going to keep you cycling. It's just going to keep you reacting to that trigger the same way every single time. So redirection. Find your pleasure zone. When you get upset, some people like to deep breathe, cleansing breaths, at least 10 cleansing breaths, shift, get up and move, walk around. You know, allow yourself and think about, you know, why should I feel this way? What good is it going to do to feel this way? So you can pull those things apart and get back in control again.
All right.
You do this every single time. Don't wait until you get in the threshold of anger or to do it. You have to do it immediately, every time you're triggered.
All right. There we go. Well, thank you all. Thank us.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.